Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thankful for God's house. Thank you for being here tonight, being faithful to be in the house of God. And I know the Lord's got something for us from His Word. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. On my way up to the platform, Brother Andy told me that he did not drink the water. So I was welcome to drink the water there on the table. And if he knew me well enough, which I think he does, and if you know me, that doesn't matter. I'll still drink it. So I'm notorious for finding free pizza at ball games. If you want to know how to do it, I'll let you know. And it rarely fails me. So Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6 and 7, the verses that we'll consider tonight as we read here tonight. If you follow along with me, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we have tonight to be in Your house. God, we can't thank You enough just for God's people. Thank You for sending us Jesus Christ to die for the church, Lord, and to, Lord, let us to gather tonight and study Your Word and hear it preached and taught. Lord, I pray that You would just speak to our hearts tonight. God, I pray that You would just bind the devil from distracting anyone in this room. May our heart and our focus be solely upon You and Your Word. God, I ask that You would just use me tonight as an instrument in Your hand. Lord, I've got nothing of myself to give or to say or to offer, but Lord, I pray that You would just speak through me. I thank You for how You've spoken to me through Your Word, and Lord, I pray tonight You would just help me to clearly share what You've spoken to me about, and Lord, I pray that You would again help us to get what You have for us tonight, pay attention and receive it, for we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. As we consider the book of Colossians, back in May I preached out of chapter number 4 in Colossians, and in the springtime did a Bible study with IEPUI through the book of Colossians, so it's kind of been on my heart quite a bit recently. But we consider the book of Colossians here. We have to know that this is, of course, one of Paul's prison epistles. He's writing to the church at Colossae, and it's a church that Paul did not start. That's kind of unusual for him to write to a church that he did not start, but it was likely started from people that he reached when he was in nearby Ephesus, ministering there for 3 years. So some of those people most likely had settled into Colossae and now had started a church there. And through him, through what's going on here, Paul had heard about this church at Colossae from a prisoner that he was bound with named Epaphras, who served as pastor there in Colossae for some time. So through Epaphras, Paul heard and learned a great deal about this church. And as we come now to chapter number 2, we find the main reason for which he wrote to this church at Colossae. You see, Colossae was a gateway city, you would call it, a city through which people would travel from the east and to the west. It saw a great deal of traffic, and with that would come people from all walks of life and all sorts of beliefs. So this church, being comprised here of saved Jews and Gentiles, was struggling with how to handle the myriad of beliefs in Colossae. There would be, of course, those that shared their Christian faith, but aside from that, there would be Greek philosophers. There would be Gnostics. There would be Jews that are holding to their many traditions. And of course, there would be pagans with their false gods. And the temptation of some in Colossae was to simply just add these to Jesus. Add these to their faith. And Paul is making it clear to them that this is not the answer. Surrounding the passage we just read here, we see Paul highlighting this. Look at verse number 4. Paul says this in verse 4. "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse number 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What's more is the foundational truth that's revealed to the church at Colossae, the key verse of the entire book is in verse number 10. And you read there in verse number 9 and 10, it says this, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." What Paul is essentially telling the church of Colossae when they're struggling with what to do with Gnosticism and Greek philosophy and pagan gods and Jewish traditions is to understand this, that you're complete in Christ. The answer is that Jesus is enough. That's the message to the church at Colossae. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus pagan gods or plus men's philosophies. We don't add to Jesus' traditions. Jesus is enough. You're complete in Christ. That's the message that he's giving to the church at Colossae. So the question is, what is the key to not being spoiled or beguiled, as he uses these words in verse number 4 and verse number 8? What's to keep me from being pulled by the traditions of men or the philosophies of men or the rudiments of this world? Well, what we just read here in verse number 6 and 7, I think it makes it clear, make it clear to us that it's our faith. But not just any faith, strong faith. Our faith and beliefs as Christians, you guys know this as well as I do, is under attack like never before in our lifetime. I mean, it's around every corner. It doesn't take much argument there on my part to have to set that up. You just take a minute to watch the news or to scroll through social media and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Spend some time around those that oppose your faith and experience the hate and disdain they have for it. It's there. It's on our doorstep. It's right there. It's here. It's reached us here in 2021 like never before in our lifetime, the opposition to the gospel and to the things of God. You know, I was thinking about this, and we've encountered quite a bit on the campus of IUPUI. I remember one time tabling with Michael Kiros, and someone stops by, and they asked a question, and I didn't exactly hear what they said the first time. They said, what do you think about the queer community? Now, when they said that at first, I thought they said the prayer community. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm for that. I support that. That's good. But then I was like, I'm not exactly sure what they said because the person did not look like they were asking that kind of question. So I said, excuse, can you repeat the question? And they what do you think of the queer community? So I went on and explained how God loved the world and that he sent his son Jesus Christ and that we believe God's word and what it teaches about right and wrong. And they were not happy with that. And they had picked up one of our tracts that said something about God's love, and she kind of tossed it at me and said, well, I hope you find God's love, and walked off. I mean, it's in our face. It's right there, opposing our Christian beliefs. We could go on and on. We could talk about abortion or gender confusion and so much more, but I believe what happens now on top of that, and we have to be aware of it, it's something that's always happened, is that the Christian faith is being watered down. And it's being added to, where people are now getting confused about what's going on, and there's so many different beliefs and things out there that we have to be aware of what's taking place and make sure we know what we believe, because if not, we can be swayed. But I mean, we've experienced that again on the campus IPU. I can't tell how many times. Just recently, I think this semester, Michael went to do something and stopped downstairs and got cornered by someone that wanted to talk to him about Mother Earth and what he thought about Mother Earth. We've had other students that were stopped and confronted by people that believe some wild things, and then they come into Bible study on a Thursday night and ask questions about it. And in fact, in that moment, I don't remember who all was there, but in that moment, as I'm answering their questions about that person's false religion and telling them what the Bible says, that person had followed them all the way to our Bible study and was standing outside the classroom and wanted to hear what we had to say. And then proceeded to interrupt our Bible study and say that I was lying. I mean, this stuff is there. It's happening. And sometimes we might be a little isolated to it, but if you get out and you get around, you understand that the attacks are there. And now it's right now it's approaching the church, and it's there at our front door. I believe two of the biggest battles that as a church we're facing right now is the battle against should a Christian drink alcohol or not, and is church attendance really that important? It's right here, 2021, it's right in our face. And then our faith is being tested and tried on a regular basis. And this is what Paul is trying to help the church of Colossae combat. And the only way to withstand this is through not just faith, but strong faith. It all starts at verse 6. Look at verse number 6. It says this in chapter number 2 and verse number 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, I think this is an obvious thing tonight. I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, the one that sometimes people that don't know anything about Christian faith or what Baptists do, that you actually go back to church on Sunday night again. I know I'm talking to those people. But we understand tonight that faith begins with Jesus Christ. It's by putting our faith and trust in Him. It's made clear right there in verse number 6. It's something that we receive. Listen, we're all sinners by birth. We know that, and that sin separates us from God. But God loved us so much that even though we were sinners, He sent His perfect Son to die in our place. And we have to choose to repent and receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." It begins by receiving Christ. To receive is to take in, it's to accept. And this is where our faith begins. But there's so much more than just being saved from the penalty of sin. Because we see in this verse a cause and effect. It says in verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." So since you have, because you have, and you could raise your hand tonight and say, "That's me, Brother Aaron. I've put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." Great, that's good. Now this is what should happen. "So walk ye in Him." Okay, I put my faith and trust in Christ. The next step is to walk in Him. That's a relationship with Him. Our faith isn't just about being saved. It's about a relationship. And that's where the strength is found. Living in Him. Now, I think it's sad to say that some Christians never make it past receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's just it. They don't walk in Him. Now, this is what the Christian life is all about, walking and becoming like Christ. And if we're going to be able to stand in our faith unwavering, we have to have strong faith. And we see here, Paul reveals in verse 7 tonight, what does strong faith look like? What does strong faith look like? Well, first of all, strong faith is a grounded faith. It's a grounded faith. Look at verse number 7. It says this, "Rooted and built up in Him." Rooted and built up in Him. Paul chooses to use two metaphors that are not unusual or unique within Scripture, that of a plant and that of a building. You can find it in the Old Testament. You can find it in the Psalms. You can find it in the New Testament. You can find it in the Gospels. It's there. We see it all the time. And he's using this here to help us understand that strong faith is a grounded faith. Why? Because first of all, it's rooted in Christ. In verse number 7, rooted in Christ. This is talking about the plant. Now, we all understand tonight how vital roots are to the life of a plant. I don't think I'd spend much time to establish that with us tonight. We've all been through biology class. Sometimes had to take it twice, but we've all been through biology class. Kinesiology, right? Sorry. We know that roots are the part of the plant that digs down into the soil, growing and spreading out. We know that. That's what goes down into the soil. It's there to help provide support for the plant or a tree. I love the visualization. You'll see drawings of it sometimes, but it shows the tree, and then you see the ground, and then you see the roots are nearly sometimes as big as the tree underneath it, supporting that tree as it stands there, almost like a mirror image. But it also provides sustenance for that plant or tree. Now, this is something I really didn't know when I'm young. You don't think about it when you first hear about it, but the nutrients come from the ground. Not just what lands on the plant or what's on the water that lands on the plant. It's what takes place in the ground and what's collected by the roots. Now, the phenomenal thing about roots is this, that you rarely see them. This growth takes place below the surface. Sometimes you get a glimpse of surface roots or an uprooted tree. But the roots of our Christian life, our relationship with Him, it's vital to our spiritual health. It provides the support we need in our lives. It supplies for us the sustenance we need to keep going and have that strong faith. But can I tell you this tonight? When it comes to the spiritual roots of our life, that's the growing that takes place below the surface. That's what happens where no one sees. That's what happens when you're alone with your God. That's what it means to be rooted in your faith. Now, I would like to think that the evidence is there in our lives as we grow and people can see that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my wife, my children, they don't see me growing my roots. I'm up before them. They're not there standing and watching and seeing, is Dad reading his Bible? Is Dad praying? How much is he really paying attention? Is he getting anything out of this? That's my personal time alone with God. But the same is true for every single one of you. Because God is telling us this through the Apostle Paul, that if you want to withstand the beguiles that are attempted upon your life or the attempts that are made to shake your faith, it begins with being rooted in Christ. And as you sit here tonight, I want you to think about this. How's your root system? How's your personal walk in relationship with the Lord? Because this comes where no one sees. It's done by spending time with Him in prayer and in His Word. I think of John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. It's the growth that takes place through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if roots are poor or they're shallow, they're weak, they're damaged, we know that that plant is in great danger. It could be knocked over. It could be lose its nourishment. There could be some disease there. And the problem is with the roots. Now, in our spiritual life, that doesn't mean that we can lose our salvation, that if I am not growing my roots and my faith in Christ, that I'm in danger of losing my faith. That's not it at all. That's not the case. It's not that we don't have faith or we don't have roots. We have little roots. Or as you think about Jesus Christ, when He talked to His disciples out on the seas, He came walking by. And Peter comes walking with Him eventually onto the water, and then he begins to sink. Or I think about the other time where they're in a storm and Jesus is asleep in the boat and they wake Him up because they're fearful. In both situations, Jesus addressed them and their little faith. It wasn't that they didn't have roots. The roots weren't deep enough in the storm. And sometimes our faith is just that. It's little faith. And we're not rooted deeply enough. So how's our roots? Are we neglecting the very foundation of our lives? As he goes on and he talks about this, he says being built up in verse number 7. He says rooted and built up in Him. This speaks upon or about the building. And this has to do about the foundation. To be built up or be built upon is what it's saying here in this verse. And the most important part of a structure is its foundation. We know that. That's important. To a structure. You know, it's even important to the human body to have good feet, and that affects what you can do is how good and healthy your feet are. So even in this, we know that if our foundation isn't strong, everything else is going to suffer. The structural integrity of an entire building is dependent upon a solid foundation. The house essentially rests upon it, that foundation. So we think about this tonight. What is our faith being built upon? What is our faith resting on? Because not only is Jesus the soil in which our faith is rooted, He's the foundation upon which our faith is built. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says this, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation upon which our life is built. It simply means this, that everything in our lives should revolve around Him and our relationship with Him. But I think what's sad sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, that I find in my life that sometimes He revolves around everything else in my life instead of me revolving around him and everything in my life revolving around him. The foundation isn't built upon what Aaron wants. The foundation is built upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything should revolve around him. We think about Matthew chapter number 7, where he talks about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man builds his house upon a rock, the foolish man upon the sand. And you know when the storms come, what happens where one stands and one's knocked over. So we might focus on building the spiritual and the eternal over the physical and the temporal. And faith that's founded firmly on Christ, it affects everything that we do. If we have that solid foundation, it impacts what we say, what we think, how we handle trials, how we treat other people, our service to the Lord, our obedience to his word, it impacts all of that. And so a strong faith tonight is a grounded faith. But not only is it a grounded faith, it's a growing faith. As it says this in verse number 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Established in the faith. Now, faith doesn't start and end with salvation. That's not it. It's not a one-time event. And I understand this tonight, that when you get saved, you're the most saved you'll ever be. All right, salvation isn't an ongoing process where it can come and go, or it waxes and wanes, and you got to fix things or do good works to make up for it. You know, you're as much saved as the day you got saved as the day you will stand before God. But the faith is an ongoing, lifelong journey. It's something that is continually at work in our lives. And that faith, once grounded, needs to grow and be strengthened or established, as we read here in this verse. What does it mean to be established? Well, it simply means this: to set and fix firmly, or to settle permanently. It simply means this tonight: to strengthen. To strengthen. Now, a tree may be growing and healthy, but it still needs to be strengthened before it can properly withstand stress. We know that. You see a young tree, and it's a healthy tree, and it's growing, but it still needs to be strengthened. It's not there yet. It will not withstand some storms or some pressure or some stress that's put upon it. It must be strengthened by growth. That's the only way. If I told you tonight that I was going to go roll Tumors Corner, who has any idea what I'm talking about? A few people know what it means to roll Tumors Corner. So Tumors Corner is in Auburn, Alabama. And for the past 30-plus years, there are some oak trees at the corner, what they call Tumors Corner, that after big games or big wins in football, they'll go and take rolls of toilet paper and TP the tree. They'll roll Tumors Corner. In 2010, a guy called into a radio show and said that he poisoned the trees at Tumors Corner. And, of course, it was an Alabama fan, Harvey Updike. But he poisoned those trees. In fact, they went and tested the soil, and indeed, they were poisoned. They did all they could to save the trees, but the trees eventually had to be removed. They put new trees there. And then a few years ago, those were lit on fire. There was an arson at the corner, and those trees had to be removed as well. And so they finally put trees there again. And for the last 2 years, the people at Auburn have had to ask the fans not to roll Tumors Corner because the trees are not strong enough to withstand the weight of all that toilet paper. Now, it sounds silly to think about, but the truth is, it's a young tree that needs to be strengthened. And sometimes we have to understand that our faith might be young, where it needs some strengthening. It needs some support. If we're going to withstand the attacks that come against our faith, if we're going to withstand the questions that might come or the temptations that we'll face, we need to strengthen that faith. How is that done? Well, look at verse number 7. He says that you'll be established in the faith as ye have been taught. As ye have been taught. Now remember, Paul is imprisoned here with Epaphras, pastor to the church at Colossae, and he knows that they've been taught correctly. They've been given God's word. Now, our faith is strengthened through the knowledge of God and his word. That's why we encourage Bible reading. That's why we talk about Bible study or scripture memorization. It's why it's important to be under the preaching and teaching of God's word as much as we possibly can be, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But if our faith isn't established, it'll be weak. It needs to be growing. It needs to be strengthened. It's important for us to know what we believe and why we believe it. The Bible talks about that in 1 Peter 3:15. That I should be ready to give an answer of the faith that I have. But if you're weak in something, then you need to establish or strengthen it as much as you possibly can. Educate yourself in God's word and in knowledge of him and hear it preached and taught. 5.5 years ago, or almost 6 years, I guess 6 years ago this month, or November, I remember being on vacation in Gatlinburg and Brother Jeremiah calling me and saying, hey, I'm going to go work for my dad in Michigan. And that's great. Thought about that was things progressed. We weren't immediately going to replace Brother Jeremiah. And so the responsibilities of the sound ministry were going to fall upon me. Now, my experience with the sound boards was almost zero before that. I mean, I sit up there and there's bright lights and sliders and knobs and it looks fun to play with, but it does a whole lot of things and it can be very intimidating. All right, that's just the truth. You can ask my sound guys, it can be overwhelming sometimes. And so I remember in knowing that that was going to be part of my responsibilities, I looked at my knowledge and the strength in audio and it was severely lacking. So what I did is I turned to my three best friends, Google, YouTube, and Dave Singer, our sound tech. And between those three, I can tell you this, over the last 5.5 years, 6 years, I'm no expert at all, but I can tell you that through knowledge and through learning, I've established myself a little bit in sound. I've learned that. I've established it. I've strengthened myself in that. So much so that sometimes it's a curse when I go away from this place and I sit in an auditorium for a play, or I'm in someone else's church, or I'm in a gym with sound, or I'm at a ball game with sound, or I'm in someone else's awards banquet with sound, and I can't get away from it. No one else hears it, but I'm sitting there thinking, man, if they'll just mess with the squelch a little bit on the back of that box, it'll fix everything. Or I'll sit there, I'll think, all right, how did they not hear this interference? We need to change channels here, people. Or I'll sit there and think, oh, man, the EQing is off on this. They've got to fix that. Or I'm sitting here, and sometimes it even happens here in church. Oh, man, I can't believe I just heard the creak of the mic. Oh, I just heard a P-pop, a plosive. And I'm hearing those things, and it's almost a curse. I can't get away from it. And I always love it when people are like, hey, did you hear this in the church service? Let me just tell you with almost 99% certainty, I heard it. Okay, I can't get away from it. It's like, it's there. I'm telling you, one time we went on vacation and both churches, we were in two different churches, Sunday morning and Sunday night, both had sound problems. And I'm like, I can't get away from this. But I'll tell you why that happens is because I established myself in it. And I become very familiar with it and educated in it. And again, I'm not saying that I'm a pro, but I'd like to say that I'd strengthened myself in it. Now think about that in terms of your faith. Is your faith established? Is your faith strengthened to the point if it was challenged or if someone said something that you would know, well, no, that's not right. And I can tell you why that's not right. I can show you the verse. I know what God's word says. I've established my faith. I've strengthened it to the point where it can withstand the wind and the waves that come. I can not be swayed by the winds of doctrine. It's been established. I've understood that. It's been strengthened. That strong faith needs to be grounded and growing. Growing and increasing in our knowledge of him. Look what Paul said to them in chapter number 1, verse 10. He says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. Did you catch that? He said, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. You know what's convicting to me sometimes? Is that my growth as a Christian is as strong as I want it to be. And that's convicting to me sometimes. To think, well, I mean, I hope someone doesn't ask me that question. Don't have the answer for that. Well, I hope I don't face this situation because I'm not ready for it. But our faith is as strong as we want it to be. And we should be increasing in our knowledge of Him. The last thing tonight, a strong faith, not only grounded and growing, but it's generating. Look what it says in verse number 7. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding means very simply this. It means to have plenty. It means to be fruitful, to be flourishing, to be productive. I should be abounding in my faith. My faith should be alive. It should be producing fruit. That's the expectation. You know, the expectation of planting a garden is to yield fruit. You care for the roots, you support the plants that need it, you want to see it grow, but eventually you want to see the fruit that's there. I think of two gardeners in our church. I think of Mark Coomer and Jack Brown. And I'll tell you, between the two of them, they keep us as a church and as a staff very well supplied in the summertime with fresh fruits and vegetables. It's wonderful. I mean, when Jack Brown comes rolling up here on a Monday afternoon, I know I've got tomatoes for lunch, fresh tomatoes. Just cut them up, little S&P, and we're good. We're golden. It's beautiful. I love it. But can you imagine if Jack or Mark went out to their gardens and it's time for there to be fruit and there's nothing there? That's disappointing. That's a letdown. Maybe for Mark it's like a day off. He doesn't have to pick all his cherry tomatoes. But it's you look at that and think, well, I expect there to be fruit. Well, I'll tell you, in our Christian life, as we root ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and we strengthen our faith, that we can expect there to be fruit. Talk about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. We thank God for fruit. You know, I think this is probably three in a row illustrations about Brady. I don't know. He's not excited about it, but where is he? Oh, there he is. Okay. So if you guys remember last time I preached, I talked about Brady spiking a tablet. Anybody remember that? Getting angry and upset and taking the tablet, throwing it down and cracking it. So Brady has had, in the past especially, struggled with his anger. I mean, he was just, you know, young boy, get upset, get mad. He's fiercely competitive. And I mean fiercely competitive. I remember as he's like 3 years old, he would cheer himself on when he's playing the Wii. He'd be like, yay, go Brady, good job, Brady. But so he's into that. What do you want? Or he gets in trouble for something, or he doesn't win, and he gets upset. He gets angry, and there'll be some outburst, and with that will be punishment, and we'll be writing lots of verses about anger and self-control. Now, I say all that to say this, that as a parent, it's a blessing to see in the life of a child there's to be fruit. Because now, as he's 13 years old, that the struggles we had with him and his anger compared to when he was much younger are almost none. The Lord's helped him get victory in that area. You know what I call that? As he's rooted himself, trying to be faithful to read God's word, as he's strengthened himself in his faith and grown by learning more about Christ and plugging into the preaching, you know what I call when I see that? I call that fruit. See that growth. I want to reach down and I don't want to take it. I want it to stay there, but it's beautiful to see that in your child, that there's growth there. I want you to think about your Heavenly Father tonight. That's invested in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that exists for your relationship with Him. And He wants you to be rooted in that relationship. How's the roots tonight? I can't see your roots. No one in here can see your roots, but you know very well what the condition of your spiritual roots are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you grown? Have you strengthened and established that faith? And are you producing fruit? Are you abounding as we see here tonight? If any of these are lacking, I can tell you tonight that so is your faith. that when the questions come, or the temptations come, or the trials come, that faith won't be unshakable. It'll be weak. I think about this as we close tonight, is in my neighborhood, if you were to drive down Thompson Park Boulevard, not so much now as before, but lining everywhere all over the place, especially in the springtime, are these beautiful flowering trees. They're gorgeous. There's nice little white flowers growing on them. They're so pretty to look at. They're called fruitless Bradford pears, and they are notoriously weak. In fact, after almost every strong storm that comes through my neighborhood, I know on my drive down Thompson Park Boulevard, I'm going to see half tree laying there, whole tree laying there, branches laying there, another tree completely toppled. I've lost mine, thrown it on Brother Rich's pile in his back before. I didn't take care of the root and get rid of it, and so guess what happened? Another one grew. So I secretly like to park my car right next to it and hope that maybe, anyway, so it's weak. It's not very strong. And really, it might be nice to look at, but there's no fruit. There's no strength. And you think about a tree like that, what's the point? I'll tell you, in our Christian life, there should be roots. There should be strength. And there should be fruit. And when there is, we'll be complete in Him. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I know this is what God had for us tonight. I want you to stop and consider your roots. Consider the strength of your spiritual knowledge and walk with Him. And the fruit, is it abounding? And if the case is yes, then we praise the Lord for that. And if not, if it could be strengthened, then we need to do something about that. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house tonight. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for the message here from Paul to the church at Colossae. Lord, I pray that we would be rooted, Lord, and built upon You, Lord, that we would be established, that we would be abounding. And Father, I pray in so doing that we wouldn't be beguiled, we wouldn't be deceived, we'd be strong in our faith. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be committed to that tonight. Pray that You'd help us to respond to how He spoke to us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.